This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Today's briefing is packed with drama, big moves, and money talk as we unpack the biggest stories making news both locally and globally. Big news out of Pretoria. The Madlanga Commission is digging deep into claims of corruption and interference in the police. KwaZulu-Natal's top cop, Nhlanhla Makonazi, just dropped some bombshells, alleging that powerful politicians and police are shielding criminal networks and blocking investigations. He even warned that South Africa's criminal justice system could totally collapse. Let's dip into Makonazi's testimony.
You say communication between the syndicate, but you are not implying that that communication extended to the minister, are you?
To some degree, the associates, as I referred to here on this paragraph, are associates of the minister. And the very same associate does show communication that seems to suggest that the minister is fully involved in the decision that this syndicate is taking.
Do you accept the responsibility on your part to substantiate fully, not necessarily today, but in the fullness of time, the conclusions you have drawn in that paragraph?
Yes, Commissioner's evidence is there on the record, although some of it will perhaps require to be covered in camera, but the evidence is there, that will support my conclusion on this. The individuals, the colleagues, as I said earlier, my July briefing was a collective effort. Men and women who are part of the investigation in Gauteng, who knows and have gathered evidence to support the allegations that we ended up making. And they are going to come before this commission and they're going to present that evidence. We will be able, under oath, to confirm that indeed that is evidence that we've collected. And we have no reason not to believe that it is the real evidence that proves the linkages between the syndicates and the minister himself.
The ANC National Executive Committee is burning the midnight oil, trying to fix struggling municipalities. President Ramaphosa wants a bold plan to tackle service delivery failures. But first, many ANC voices are jumping to Cyril's defense on his recent statement around needing to learn lessons from DA-run municipalities on the premise that they are doing way better than ANC-run municipalities. Here's Khosi Ramakgopa, Minister of Electricity and Energy, leaping to Cyril's defense.
If you look at the architecture of a local government, it introduces something called SALGA, which is an organized voice of local government. And what it does, it advocates and agitates on behalf of local authorities and, amongst others, is about peer learning. So what the president said, that you go to DA ministry, there's nothing new. When we introduced free Wi-Fi in Tshwane, municipalities from across the country, some of which were led by parties other than the ANC, came to learn. When Comrade Parks was the mayor of Johannesburg, the corridors of freedom, we all descended there. The mayors will tell you that framework exists and it encourages it. There's nothing sinister when you learn from those who have perfected some area of how they prosecute their responsibility with regards to local government. SALGA is designed to do exactly that. So within that framework, we go and learn from each other and unlearn from each other. So there is nothing untoward. That someone is doing something better, you can go and learn. I mean, that's the best thing to do. And it's not a selfish consideration. It's not about the political party projection. It's about what is in the interest of the community. So you get it right, the net beneficiary are communities. We'll fight it out in the battlefield when the local elections come. But now it's about improving the lives of communities. We are accepting someone is doing it better. SALGA design, the design of SALGA, is meant to do that amongst others. So when you say, let's go and learn, yes, we go and learn. In the same manner that they come and learn. That's what we call about the peer review. So I thought I must just make that point, SG. Thanks.
An additional voice on the strategy that is now in full swing to follow the ANC special meeting focusing on fixing struggling municipalities is that of Penny Majordina, the Minister of Water and Sanitation. Let's take a listen.
What we are going to engage with municipalities after this is, one, municipality must give us a clear audit of all their infrastructure, which is decaying. Two, they must tell us how much is that they have. Because municipalities, they do get money from us. They get money from COCTA. They get their equitable share. So we must agree that a certain amount must be ring-fenced to attend to infrastructure. And we can do that when we work together. We have agreed as IMC, COCTA, National Treasury, Human Settlement, us as DWS, as well as electricity, to say our challenges are the same. If there is cable theft, it does not only affect Eskom, it affects us as well, that when Eskom has no electricity, we are unable to pump to give bulk water supply. So we have agreed to work together. So from here, we are going to sit together as this IMC and say, what is that we are going to have in the next 3 months that we are going to work with municipalities on?
And the Minister of Small Business Development, Stella Ndebeni Abrahams, also took to the podium as part of the debrief on solutions being tabled for those struggling municipalities.
We are not too late. The fact that I counted the numbers, 3,273 wards out of the 4,000 plus wards that we have, it means that ANC still has strength. If you look at the results of the previous by-elections, if you see the ANC still winning some wards, just minor areas where we would lose, that tells you that people still believe in the ANC, which is why we are saying, let's pay attention to what matters. Let's make sure that potholes are closed. Let's make sure that the water leaks are attended to. And for that to happen again, it talks to a municipality that must have a clear maintenance plan. Minister Comrade Ramakhuba will come here, Comrade Pemi will come and talk about the plans that they have. But if there's no proper maintenance plan in the municipality, then we're not going to be able to achieve all of this that we're talking about. That's why you see in the pillars that have been identified in the action plan again, it's that one of strengthening institutional capability, because they go together. The other municipalities are very poor to a point that they're not able to get highly qualified engineers because of the pay grade that they have. Then now it poses a challenge. That's a structural challenge. That's not just something that they suppose they don't want to, but people prefer to go to advanced areas that can pay better. That is why we're saying now the coordination means that we must bring all instruments under the service delivery war room that we have to say, how do we complement the existing challenges that we have in terms of strengthening the capacity of the municipalities so as to respond to the action plan that we are talking about.
And Manus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Manus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. Five cars, Yaku.
Denial. I just love cars. And we rebuy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient to sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras. I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those.
We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
In South African business news, in May 2025, NASDAQ-listed ASPI made an offer to purchase Renergen, which is South Africa's first onshore natural gas explorer and the first integrated producer of both liquefied helium and liquefied natural gas. CEO Stefano Morani sat down with Alec Hobb to explain why the company's acquisition by ASP Isotopes is a win for shareholders.
This is a transaction that still enables us to reach the so-called Holy Land from a helium perspective. But the story is much bigger now. The story now is one of becoming one of the first and only companies on planet Earth that will be vertically and horizontally integrated in the critical materials chain. And in particular, when you're looking at things like electronics, when you're looking at things like space exploration. So if anything, this deal is massively enhancing And it happens to be a right time for a transaction of this nature to take place. The fact that ASP is in critical materials, the fact that helium is a critical material, and the fact that the byproduct from the Virginia gas project is energy, which the country desperately needs. You've got this combination of factors where the timing really couldn't be better for the combination of these two companies. And investors are still in on the ride. They transform their Renergen shares for ASP shares, but now the opportunity set is significantly larger than it ever was before.
On the international front, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says there wasn't widespread support for a 50 basis point rate cut, even after the recently revised jobs data. Powell was speaking at a news conference in Washington after the Fed's policy setting Federal Open Market Committee decided to lower the benchmark interest rate by just a quarter of a percent.
Chair Powell, do economic conditions and the balance of risks no longer warrant a restrictive policy setting?
So I don't think we can say that. What we can say is this, that over the course of this year, we've kept our policy at a restrictive level, and people have different views, but a clearly restrictive level, I would say. So, and we were able to do that over the course of this year because the labor market was in very solid condition with strong job creation and all those things. I think if you start go back to April and now look at the revised job creation numbers for May, June, July, and August, you can kind of I can no longer say that. So what that means is that the risks were clearly tilted toward inflation. I would say they're moving toward equality. Maybe they're not quite out of equality. We don't need to know that, but we do know that they've moved meaningfully toward greater equality, the risks between the two goals, and that suggests that we should be moving in the direction of neutral, and that's what we did today.
Under what circumstances would a larger than 25 basis points rate cut be warranted? And how seriously was that option entertained at your meeting this week?
There wasn't widespread support at all for a 50 basis point cut today. You know, I think we've done very large rate hikes and very large rate cuts in the last 5 years. And you tend to do those at a time when you feel that policy is out of place and needs to move quickly to a new place. That's not at all what I feel certainly now. I feel like our policy has been doing the right thing so far this year. I think we were right to wait and see how tariffs and inflation and the labor market evolved. I think we're now reacting to the much lower level of job creation and other evidence of softening in the labor market and saying, well, those risks are maybe not fully balanced, but moving in the direction of balance now. And so that warrants a change in policy.
Gold prices hit a record high before dropping nearly 1%, this after the Fed cut interest rates. Gold's up 39% this year, thanks to central bank buying and global uncertainty. Here's Peter Major, Director of Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions.
We are ballistic. We've left the gravity and the atmosphere of Earth on this gold price, Alec. And we can't compare the environment it's in with 1973. It's too different. You know, the world has been off the gold standard since 1973, and it's still off the gold standard. And we can say, okay, but who's buying it? That's what's really changed. Who's buying it? Because now, I don't think there were quite 200 countries in the world then, but probably a dozen or two really carried any weight. Well, more than a couple dozen carry weight now. And the big ones, it's not the U.S. is way, way up there and everybody else is multiples down. China is neck and neck with the U.S. in many more measurabilities than it's not. 1.4 billion people, it's way ahead of us. And if all those people are buying an ounce, like we always talked about, now they are kind of doing it. And there's a big, rich, powerful government that's bolstering its reserves. You know, it didn't have anything like that in 1980. So all I see is relative to the S&P 500, gold isn't even at its long-term mean. You know, it could go up multiples from here if it replicated what it did in the 1970s, multiples, five times where it is today.
And NVIDIA is facing pushback in China. This as China's internet regulator tells the country's biggest technology companies to stop buying NVIDIA's RTX Pro 6000D. That's according to reports in the Financial Times. Bloomberg's Mike Shepherd discusses the news on Bloomberg Tech.
This is going to be a key conversation that Jensen Huang is likely to be having with the President of the United States, because once again, another chip designed for China being pushed back by the country itself.
Well, that's right, Caro. And Jensen Huang has been having those kinds of conversations with President Donald Trump since he took office in January. Jensen has been trying to reshape the picture when it comes to export controls in a way that's a little bit more advantageous for NVIDIA. Over the past several years, we've seen the U.S. tighten China's access to NVIDIA's most advanced AI chips, and they just won back permission to sell the H20 in China, although now we are seeing China balk at that. This latest turn of events, though, signals an escalating pressure campaign by China, and they feel like they have some leverage there because the local companies in China making semiconductors can now compete with some of those lower grade, lower performance AI chips from NVIDIA. And now NVIDIA would like to leapfrog that and sell something perhaps a little more advanced. But they would need President Donald Trump to get aboard with that. So we'll have to be watching not only for whatever conversation takes place between Jensen Huang and President Trump, but the more important conversation on Friday, Carol, between Trump and his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, to resolve a host of issues. We know about TikTok, but now NVIDIA is really emerging on the screen as a topic that they will discuss. China has expressed a lot of chagrin over export controls, and this would be a moment to settle it all, including for NVIDIA.
That's it for today's business briefing. We'll be back on Monday with more context on the local and global front. Thanks, as always, for joining us.